This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In these teachings, Rick looks at how God can take every situation in life, including the absolute worst circumstances, and turn them around for your good and His glory. If you know someone who needs some powerful Bible-based encouragement, then stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called, How We're Getting Through.
You know that the Bible says that God weeps? Do you know that the Bible says God has stored up every tear you've ever cried? You don't even know that, but God does. He knows more about you than you do. As I said, Matthew lived a very tortured life. And part of the problem was he was incredibly bright. A lot of people who are mentally ill don't know they're mentally ill. Matthew did. And growing up, he said, why can't I be normal? Because he was so smart. He knew what wasn't right. He felt odd. And he felt on the outskirts. He felt like he didn't fit in. He felt like nobody understood him. He just, why can't I be normal? And he had a tender heart, but he had a tortured mind. And he struggled all through life with the unanswered questions about his illness because it didn't make sense. But I want to tell you this. 1 second into heaven, all of Matthew's questions were answered. And all of a sudden, he understood it all. Life doesn't make sense, but we can still have peace because we know God loves us and He's with us. There's a second thing you need to know, and you need to remember. Everything on earth is broken. Everything on earth is broken, but we can still have joy because we know God is good and He's got a greater plan. Everything on earth is broken. Now, the fact is, since sin and evil entered the world, it messed up everything. And nothing on this planet is perfect. Everything on the planet is broken. Nothing works perfectly. The weather does not work perfectly. We have tsunamis and we have earthquakes and we have fires and floods and all kinds of natural disasters. God didn't want that. He created a garden of paradise, a garden of Eden. Sin broke the planet. It broke the weather. It broke the climate. The economy doesn't work perfectly. None of your plans work perfectly. Have you noticed that? Not one of your plans works perfectly. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Anybody agree with that one? Yeah. No relationship works perfectly. Anybody want to give a testimony? No matter how much you love, you still have this. No brain works perfectly. We all have broken brains. And we have thoughts that we can't control and compulsions and desires and attractions and fears and depressions and worries and rage and, you know, you name it. Everything is broken in this world. We all struggle with mental illnesses because everything is broken. Isaiah 24 says this. By the way, if you ever want to read a perfect description of modern culture, you need to go study in detail Isaiah 24, because Isaiah 24 explains all of the problems in our culture today. People locking their doors for fear of crooks and why the cities are in chaos. It's an amazingly accurate passage. Let me just show you a couple verses. Verse 5 and verse 19. The earth suffers. Everything's broken. The earth suffers for the sins of its people, for they have twisted the instructions of God, violated His laws, and broken His covenant. Therefore, the earth has broken down, and has utterly collapsed. Everything is lost. We're all lost spiritually. Everything's abandoned and confused. We have confusion about everything. Confusion about the economy. Confusion. There's confusion in every area about money, about sex, about life, about time. There's confusion everywhere. Now, why is there brokenness and suffering in the world? Because of sin and evil. Why is there sin and evil in the world? Because God allows you and me a free choice. We can choose to not love him. We can choose to go our own way. You say, well, why doesn't God eliminate all the sin on the earth? Well, God could easily eliminate all the sin on the earth. Get rid of you and me. And we've been hurting each other for thousands and thousands of years. You get enough sin in habitual lives of people, it affects the environment, it affects your DNA, your genetics, it affects everything is broken. Well, if everything is broken, how can we have joy? Because we know God is good, and because we know he has a better purpose and a greater plan.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you'd like to reach out to Rick to let him know how this broadcast has blessed you, go ahead and email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
If you really need some powerful encouragement, then let me tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. This full-color, vegan leather study tool will help you take your quiet time to a new level. You can go through it at your own pace. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God so that he can renew your spirit and your sense of hope. The Journey Toward Hope guided experience will help you uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and will teach you how to maintain and bolster that hope for a lifetime. It's perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, winner of the NRB Billy Graham Award for Excellence in Christian Communications. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Romans 8:28, one of the greatest promises in the Bible says this, but we know, circle that, we know. We know, it's the second thing you need to know. We know that in all things, not some things, not the good things, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. Now, this is a great promise, but I want you to notice it's not a promise for everybody. He works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. If you love God, everything that happens in your life, God is using it. He's going to work it for good. Even the bad. Anybody can bring good out of good. God specializes in bringing good out of bad. Now, if you don't love God, all things are not working for good in your life. In fact, all things are working for bad in your life because you're going against your creator. And that's going to, your arms are too short to box with God. You're going to lose that one. Now, this is one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted, and misused verses in the Bible. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say everything that happens is good. No, it says all things, God works for the good. Doesn't say it's all good. Doesn't say everything happens. There's a lot of bad stuff in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. Racism is bad. Rape is bad. Terrorism is bad. Cancer is bad. God is not the author of evil. Doesn't say that everything that happens is good. There's a lot of bad stuff. It doesn't even say everything that happens is God's will. No, that's nonsense. Friends, a lot of people confuse heaven and earth. This is not heaven. In heaven, everything is perfect. Why? Because God's will is done perfectly, so everything is perfect. In heaven, it's all perfect because God's will is always done. On earth, everything is broken because God's will is rarely done. That's why Jesus said, we are to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, it's done perfectly and instantly, and on earth, it's done rarely or never. Not everything that happens on this planet is God's will. I mean, when some people, I've been at funerals and people say, well, it must have been God's will. Or they'll say, you know, God must have needed Matthew more than you. There's a word for that. Nonsense. Just nonsense. God needed that baby more than me, so he took him home early. Are you kidding me? God doesn't need anything. So don't blame God for that. Death is the result of sin and evil. It entered the world because of that. God is not the author of it. Matthew's life was robbed by mental illness. It was robbed by mental illness. And you need to understand that you have an enemy on this planet. His name is Satan. Satan is not your friend. He's not your friend. In fact, the Bible says he came to kill and destroy. He wants to destroy your life. Why? Because he hates God. Satan cannot hurt God. God cannot be hurt like that. So what happens? He tries to hurt God's children. To hurt God. If you can't get to me, the quickest way to hurt me is hurt my kids. Satan wants to destroy your life. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to keep you away from God because that makes God grieve. God grieves when you don't love him the way he loves you, when you don't know him the way he knows you. So God is not the author of evil. When Matthew died, Satan thought he'd won. But he had lost big time. Why? Because he couldn't torture Matthew anymore. His entire life, he went through mental torture. But now he's out of reach of that torture. Now in heaven, there's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more. He's at peace. What's he doing today? He's in heaven in the grandstands cheering me on. Right now. On the day that Matthew died, we were suspecting, because we hadn't heard from him all day, he hadn't texted all day, that our greatest fear had probably happened. The day I prayed would never happen, the day I feared might, that he would take his life. We went over to his house, and we couldn't get into his house because we didn't have a key to his house. His car was there, and he wasn't answering the door, and we were worried that our deepest, greatest fear had happened. And as we stood there in the driveway waiting for police to come to break in and to see what inevitably was true, Kay and I stood there in the driveway hugging each other, sobbing. Our hearts were breaking into a million pieces. And as we stood there trembling and sobbing out loud, Kay reached up and grabbed her necklace, which had two words on it, and she showed it to me. It was the words of a book that she wrote, the title of a book she wrote, Choose Joy. And I thought, are you kidding me? How in the world do you choose joy in the deepest grief? How do you choose joy in the worst pain? How do you choose joy when your greatest fear is being realized? Well, I'll let Kay tell you that. Would you welcome her?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Saddleback. I've missed you. As Rick said, I was wearing a necklace that says, Choose Joy, after I wrote that several years ago, and I wrote the book because I've struggled with low levels of depression my whole life. And yet here's a verse like Romans 5:3-5 on your outline that says, we can have joy even in our troubles because we know that these troubles produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope will not disappoint us because God has poured his love to fill our hearts. I began to look for some jewelry that I could wear on a daily basis to remind me that I could choose joy, that there could be joy even in troubles. The day that Matthew passed away, as Rick said, I in particular had a terrible sense of foreboding, and I had very good reasons to believe that that might be that he had taken his life. But we had to wait hours before it could be confirmed. And so when I got up that morning, I deliberately went to my jewelry box, and with my hands shaking and my heart pounding and my stomach heaving, I picked this necklace out of the jewelry box. I wasn't really thinking very clearly, but I knew that by putting it on, in some way, I was fighting back against the nightmare that I was pretty sure that was going to unfold that day. And as Rick said, as we stood at Matthew's house together waiting for the police to confirm this terrible news, I don't know why, but in a moment I looked down and saw it, and then I raised it to him. In a very tiny, feeble attempt to affirm what I knew to be the truth, even as he said our hearts were shattering. How could I do that? How could I even wear the necklace that day? How could I lift it to him in a gesture of belief in God, a belief that joy could be chosen even in our darkest moments? How could I do that? And how could he, through his tears, receive it and not push me away and not tell me I was crazy and to stop it and to just stop doing that? It's because of what we know. Because we know that joy is still present. We know it because God is good. And because we have spent the last 50 years of our lives putting our spiritual roots down deep into the rich soil of God's grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, and his goodness. And because of that, because of those roots that have gone deep into the soil of who God is, getting to know him, when troubles have come our way, we have been able to produce endurance. It has been produced, and hopefully character, and from that character, hope and joy. Verse 5 of Romans 3, again, look at that. Romans 5, verse 5 says, "And this hope will not disappoint us, because God has poured his love to fill our hearts." I was learning a lot about joy in the last few years, and so I could say somehow, yes, God, I trust you, and I'm going to have joy even in this very dark day. But hope? I want to talk to you a little bit about hope, because I would be lying to you, completely lying to you, if I said that hope didn't disappoint me. In fact, I was crushed by hope that didn't come true. But that takes us to point 3, which is the next thing that you and I need to know. Life is a battle, but we can have hope because we know that there's more to the story. There's more to the story. When Matthew's mental illness, his borderline personality disorder, and major depression disorder, when it began to get worse about 5 years ago, I found myself frantic, trying to find a treatment, to find medication, to find a physician, to find a psychiatrist, to find a hospital, to find anything that would make a difference in his worsening condition. A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of agonizing moments of darkness as we watched helplessly as our son just spiraled slowly, slowly down. And so I enlisted a group of confidential friends and family who would commit to pray for Matthew and for us. And I began to send them very specific prayer requests week after week. And these incredible people would pray for him and for us, and they would send back encouraging notes. They would send back verses of scripture that would give us hope to hold on to the belief that God was going to heal Matthew's mind. And a dear friend gave me this box. It looks like alabaster or marble. I don't know, maybe it's plastic, but it looks good. And on in the middle of this box is the word hope. And I began to take those scriptures that others had sent to me, those verses that had been so enormously comforting, that held my faith strong, and I wrote them on cards, and I put them inside this box, and it became part of a daily ritual of my time with God. As I would spend time every morning, I would pick up this box, and I would open it, and I would read verse after verse that inspired and built my faith and my hope. Verses like the verses in Psalm 116 and Psalm 18, where it says that the cords of the grave have encompassed me, and I'm held down tightly. And then it would go a few other verses, and it would say, "But God, you have removed the tears from my eyes and kept my feet from stumbling so that I can live in the land of the living again." And then April 5th came, and Matthew died.
and with his death, my hopes for a healed mind here on earth died too. I felt bruised by hope. So, what do we do when hope doesn't turn out the way we're expecting it to? What do we do when we've gone out on those audacious limbs of faith and things and life and situations don't turn out the way we were so convinced they were going to? 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, and 14 says we often suffer, but we're never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up. In times of trouble, God is with us. And when we are knocked down, we get up again because we know God raised the Lord back to life. And just as he raised Jesus, he will also raise us back to life and bring us into his presence together. So I'm rebuilding hope. You can't live without hope, because I know this isn't the end of the story. I know that Matthew's story isn't at the end. My story isn't at the end. God is still writing it. And because of that, I'm willing to try hope again. And so I have a new set of songs. There aren't quite as many, but there's one that I love. It's called Not For a Moment by Meredith Andrews. And some of the lyrics go, not for a moment have you forsaken us. Not for a moment have you abandoned us. And my hope is that not for a second did God abandon my beautiful boy. Not for a second. And not for a second has God abandoned or forsaken us. Rebuild your hope. Don't be afraid to have hope again. Don't be afraid to trust again. God is good. God is not finished writing the story. Please believe with all that you have that what has been broken can be restored. It is not the end of our story.
Great job, Ben. You know, one of the most suspenseful TV shows that was ever on was 24. Everybody remember that? I mean, Jack Bauer could solve three world problems in every single episode. I wanted to be Jack Bauer. But I have to admit that I never even watched a show until it went off the air and went into DVD, because I hate watching commercials.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Hey, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. If you really need some powerful encouragement, then let me tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided experience. This full-color vegan leather study tool will help you take your quiet time to a new level. You can go through it at your own pace. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God so that He can renew your spirit and your sense of hope. The Journey Toward Hope guided experience will help you uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and will teach you how to maintain and bolster that hope for a lifetime. It's perfect for you or a loved one. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004, or just visit PastorRick.com. And now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
If you've been blessed by this message today, here's what I want you to do. Share it. Tell somebody about it. Now, there's a lot of great ways you can share Daily Hope. One of the easiest is by posting it on social media, on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram. But you'll find a share button today next to the message on my website, PastorRick.com. Don't keep the good news to yourself. It's too good to keep to ourselves. We've got to pass it on to others. Thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.